America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You know where I'm going today? I'm taking you on a ride. Now, turn off the music for a minute. They can't listen to me and listen to that music because it's either one music or the other. It's impossible to play two tracks when both tracks are so compelling. It's easy to play two tracks and listen to them when they're not compelling. But when they're compelling, I can't do two tracks. So welcome to the Savage Nation. Here's a couple of stories that caught my attention today. Obama advisor, the loser, Susan Rice, you know the idiot Susan Rice, who refuses the word Islamic terrorism doesn't exist? That moron, put there strictly because, well, let's say you know why. The moron Susan Rice says America's national security agencies are too white. I'm not making this up. While delivering a commencement address at Florida International University, Miami, Obama administration moron, national security advisor Susan Dummy Rice, lamented what she sees as a lack of diversity in the realm of foreign policy and national security. You got to hear this for yourself. Listen to the stupidest person in the history of the national security business. Someone as stupid as this could only be picked by Barack Obama, who has risen to the top not because of his brains, but because of his viciousness. Listen to the clip I'm about to play. I think it's clip three.
Minorities still make up less than 20% of our senior diplomats, less than 15% of senior military officers and senior intelligence officials. Too often, our national security workforce has been what former Florida Senator Bob Graham called white, male, and Yale. In the halls of power, in the faces of our national security leaders, America is still not fully represented.
So in other words, we need more like her, more idiots like her. That's going to make us safer. More idiots like her in all branches of security are going to make us safer. Here is a moron who won't even declare Islamic terrorism. Listen to what this psychotic says are national security problems. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear in clip number 06.
Whether we're confronting ISIL or Ebola, cybersecurity threats or climate change, solving today's
multifaceted... Okay, you get the picture. This is one of the dumbest people in the history of the world, who is the national security advisor. Now, she's not the first moron put into that position. There have been others before her. If you look back, most of the idiots in that position are idiots. I don't know how they picked them. No, I don't know who Trump was going to pick to be national security advisor. I sure hope he picks someone who's a seasoned returning military veteran instead of a psychotic leftist academic like her. Remember we had Sandy Berger in there, the man who stole national secrets out of the National Archives and didn't go to jail? Remember old Sandy Berger? Remember Fatso Sandy Berger, the trade lawyer from Washington who was caught stealing trade secrets, stuffing them in his underwear and socks? That was a national security advisor. So I don't know how they picked these people, but I know the answer is not diversity. I know the answer is excellence. Welcome to the Savage Nation. That's only one story that got my goat today. You want more? I'll give you more, but let me start with a quote. The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Shall I repeat that? The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Now, any leader, any corporate leader, any military leader, anyone who has risen to a high position understands exactly what that statement means. And by the way, conservatives tend to be those people who can hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time and still function. The left, however, does not hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time. They have a single idea, a single agenda, and they drive it home. Their only agenda is the destruction of the middle class. Now, I'm going to get into that today, because Obama is clearly operational as a Marxist. People have said, is he really a Marxist? He didn't take over this, he didn't take over that. One of the tenets of Marxism is the shrinking or destruction of the bourgeoisie. You know who the bourgeoisie are? You, the middle class. You, You, Eddie, the one that was put out of work by Bill and Hillary Clinton by sending factories to China. You, Eddie, who was set out of work by Barack Obama, who has sent more and more companies offshore and overseas. You are the middle class. And there's an article today about the great shrinking American middle class. In fact, it was by the Associated Press, of all people. America's middle class is headed toward extinction. In nearly one quarter of metro areas, middle class adults no longer make up a majority. And this is from the left-wing Pew analysis. And so what is going on? I know what's going on. Why do you think there is a shrinking American middle class? Why did this happen under Barack the Liar Obama? The answer is quite clear, because that's his agenda. The rich have gotten richer, the poor have gotten poorer, and the middle has been driven out of the middle class in increasing numbers. This is what happens in a two-tiered Marxist society. There are the powerful, and then there are the weak, and there's virtually no middle class. I remember hearing this as a kid. We were not rich. We worked our way up from, I'd say, poor, lower middle class to another level. My mother used to say to me with joy in her eyes that in America, there's a great middle class. I said, well, what does that mean? I didn't even know what it meant. She said, well, there's rich in all societies and poor, and in this country, there's the largest number of people who are in the middle class. She said, in other countries, there's either the rich or the poor. I thought that was a good thing. Barack Obama studied his Marx very carefully. And the Marxists have long had a vendetta against the bourgeoisie. Who are the bourgeoisie? Well, the bourgeoisie are not Mark Zuckerberg. The bourgeoisie are not Bill Gates. The bourgeoisie are not Nancy Pelosi. The bourgeoisie are not Dianne Feinstein. The bourgeoisie are the middle class people like you who have seen your income shrinking and your costs going up. Now, why do the Marxists want to shrink the middle class and increase the ruling class and the poor class? I'll get into that a little further on in the broadcast today on the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 855-407-282. Here are some other topics I'm going to get to today. Obama advises Susan Rice, America's national security agencies are too white. Have you heard anything more racist than this yet in your lifetime? Maybe from Louis Farrakhan. Would you expect Louis Farrakhan in a skirt to be in the NSA? Well, under Obama, yes. Next, the middle class shrinking under Obama. Here's another one for you. The Department of Homeland Security under the moron, Jay Johnson, freed nearly 20,000 convicted criminal immigrants in 2015. Now you ask yourself, why would a man, a Wall Street lawyer, like Jay Johnson, have been selected by Obama to be the head of DHS when the man is incompetent at any speed? The man is a danger to our national security, our homeland security. The same DHS that is mandated to protect us has now endangered us by freeing 20,000 convicted criminal immigrants in 2015. Are you listening to me? You want a little bit more? And we'll go to the next step. Trump camp says Muslim entry into U.S. depends on their intentions. That's why Trump is soaring and Hillary is deflating. We'll get into that as well. Now, there's another story that came out of New York this morning that I found quite intriguing here that I'd like to talk about today on the Savage Nation. The third most powerful Senate Majority Leader, the third most powerful politician in New York State, ex-State Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos, remember how powerful he was in New York, this is a New York City corruption story with great national implications. You ready for this one? Ex-State Senator Majority Leader Dean Skelos was sentenced today to 5 years in prison for using his political power to line the pockets of his do-nothing son, Adam. Now, it's a father-son duo. They were convicted in December of bribery, corruption, and conspiracy after prosecutors with Manhattan U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara's office played tapes showing that the Long Island Republican strong-armed companies into paying his 33-year-old son more than $330,000. Now, in New York State, they have a great U.S. attorney. The man has gotten one scalp of a corrupt person after another. Preet Bharara should run for national office. Frankly, I think if Donald Trump's people are listening, Preet Bharara should become U.S. Attorney General, by the way. But nevertheless, Preet Bharara has gone after one corrupt Democrat and Republican after another. He put away that that prize, Sheldon Silver, a man who thought he was above the law, a man who used his religion as a weapon. He thought he was untouchable, but he was not untouchable. Preet Bharara got him and put him away. Well, now Preet Bharara got this father and son and put them away. And the question I ask is this. Why are there no such arrests in San Francisco? Everybody who lives here knows this is the most corrupt city in the United States of America. This city makes New Orleans look like a Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs city. And yet there have been no arrests by the local U.S. attorney. No one even knows who he is. No one knows how he exists. Nobody knows where he came from. Why is there no U.S. attorney in San Francisco to break up the same system here of pay for play? Bribery, corruption, and conspiracy? Are you telling me it doesn't exist in San Francisco? Everybody living here knows it exists. But we'll get into that a little further on in the Savage Nation. In the interim, let us now listen to the greatest drum solo I ever heard. Again, from the great, great, great American jazz artist, who you heard a little bit earlier, Charlie Parker. Listen to this drum solo.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Okay, that's amazing. Take it away, but listen to me. Here's the thing. Charlie Parker, who of course, who I'm featuring today on the Savage Nation, one of the jazz greats, certainly believed in diversity. In fact, he believed in diversity so much, Charlie Parker, that he chose the best drummer he could find who happened to be a white man. So now, if you want to take the edict of the moron Susan Rice and put a diversity ahead of performance, what you're going to wind up with is more people like Susan Rice who are incompetent boobs. Plain English, end of story. Buddy Rich, an American jazz drummer and band leader, known for his technique, power, and speed. Anyway, there we are. So what do you want to talk about? Yesterday we talked about going from God, guns, and gays to Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. I was trying to attract your attention on what do conservatives care about today, because many people have tuned out of the political world after the last series of wins by Trump. They figure they know who the nominee is going to be. And they're putatively interested only in the headlines. You know, this one did this. They don't want every second of every day about Trump and Hillary. There's enough already. So I'm not going to do it. I told you that. And we heard from the Trump camp yesterday. They're going to be on next week. I mean, he'll be on next week. That's what I was told, which will be nice. I have some good questions, and I'm sure I'll get some good answers. But the issue is I don't want to do it today. I'm not going to do it today. I'm going to do all the topics I talked about, okay? And I mentioned only some of them. And there's going to be more of them, by the way. Are you in the American middle class? Has your middle class life shrunken? The great shrinking American middle class under the communist in the White House. Here's another little story for all of you in blue out there. FBI Director Comey, who is one of the greatest performers on the political stage right now. I don't know how he survives with the monsters that are running this country. But he's in there because he has tenure. And I hope that when Trump becomes president, James Comey is, I don't know what he should become. I don't know where he can go that would do more, give us more safety than where he is right now. Maybe he'll be able to get his work done, though, as the FBI director. But the FBI director, James Comey, said the Ferguson effect is causing a murder spike. They're calling it very controversial. He reaffirmed his position that the viral video world that has been unleashed upon America has been drastically effective in intimidating police and encouraging criminals. He said that a viral video effect could well be at the heart of a rise in violent crime. The New York Times reports they're calling it the Ferguson effect, where police officers are hesitant to confront suspects for the rational fear of getting hit with excessive force or brutality charges thanks to videos. No matter what the cops do, they're wrong. But that's only part of the problem. The real problem is Barry Obama. And before him, that evildoer, the worst, most evil attorney general in history, a Dr. Svengali, Eric Holder, who was now hiding in a corporation somewhere, attacked the police relentlessly and empowered the criminal bums in Ferguson and Baltimore. That's why America's less safe.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. You with a horn and me with a voice. Welcome to the program. In essence, my voice is that of America. And I'll admit that it's an America that's being diminished by the snake, the thin smoking snake from Honolulu. Oh, yeah. The thin smoking snake in the White House is trampling out the glory that is America as quickly as he can, trying to use his iron heel. But I don't want to get negative right now. I want to stay a little positive, and I want to take your calls in a few minutes. I'd like to read a couple of reviews of Teddy and me because they're interesting or I wouldn't read them. Guy writes, great little dog, great little book. Let me start by saying that I am not the biggest Savage fan, though I do listen to his show occasionally and always enjoy his wide variety of topics. One of the topics I've grown to particularly enjoy is that of Teddy. I almost feel as if I know the little guy and love it when he contributes his 2 cents worth to the show. Anyway, people like it. Someone wrote that the most heartstring-pulling story in the book is, of course, that of his brother, but it is also uplifting and based on Savage's belief system. I believe that his brother Jerome is already in the company of the other dogs that brought joy into Savage's life, waiting to embrace each other when the time comes. Savage once again shows his excellent writing skills. Readers of his many books on health, politics, and fiction can add Teddy and Me to Michael Savage's long list of excellent books. Anyway, people like the book. I hope they're getting some pleasure out of it. I don't expect it to make a, let's put it to you this way. I don't think you're going to see it on Fox News. I somehow don't think Bill O'Reilly will hold up a copy. Now, if it was about a prisoner who had just broken out of jail, let's say, and opened the pizza store, I suppose it would make it to Megyn Kelly's show. I'm just joking. We can go back to some of the other stories, and they are many, by the way. Are you in the American middle class? Is it shrinking? How do you feel about Susan Rice, America's national security dolt, saying that our security agencies are too white? Perhaps the most racist statement I've heard yet coming from the thin smoking snakes minions on the Savage Nation. WJR Detroit Jim, line two, what's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to say I truly appreciate the different paths that you walk us down in this political climate of a perpetual or just a circular sentence of everybody saying the exact same thing. Thank you. The drum solo, I am a cracker. That the only reason that I can dance is because I listen to music through the drums. So
I missed that. You said you're what?
I'm a white guy that can actually be out there in a dance floor, do okay because I listen to music through the drums. I call myself a cracker, but that's just around people.
So you're saying you hear music through the drums in the band, and that's what enables you to move your body.
Yeah, that helps me. That gives me a white boy rhythm, I guess. So.
Very, very funny.
But thanks.
I didn't know there was such a thing. But okay, it's a funny statement. I get it. Thank you for the call. You know, I don't want to go into it. I don't play an instrument, but I was infatuated by the drums as a young kid. For whatever the reason is I never learned to play the drums. It's true that I have a set of timbales right next to my radio microphone in one of my home studios, like right now, and sometimes I get carried away and I play the drums during a break, but I wouldn't dare do it on the air because I'm not good enough. But the fact is I hear good enough to know what good is and what bad is. 855-407-282 is the phone number. I've touched on many different topics. They're all up in the air. You want to grab one of those balls and play ball with me? Give me a call at 855-407-282. Maybe the people will enjoy it. Let's go to KSFO in San Francisco, line 5. Steve, what's on your mind?
Now, there's a quick story about Buddy Rich. In the late 70s, my mom went to go see Buddy Rich's big band. He went into one of his wild solos near the end of the show that lasts usually between 6 to 8 minutes. And at the end of the solo, after the song was over, it's usually West Side Story Suite, which is a great track by him. Anyway, right after he stopped playing, he put his sticks down on the floor, Tom, and just said, "Get an ambulance." And his horn player said, "You okay? Heart attack." He played through his heart attack till the end of that song.
Whoa.
I'm going to stop.
So in other words, he felt the heart attack during the set but wouldn't stop.
Right. And before he died, he had a quadruple bypass, and his against doctor's orders totally. They said, don't do it. He went out and started playing those solos again less than 2 weeks after he had the surgery.
Why do you suppose that? Why do you suppose that is?
He was from another planet. He didn't just learn to play that well. If you listen to the one recording of him when he was 6 years old, he played the same. He was gifted when he was born. He had his first heart attack when he was in the late 40s, when he was playing jazz.
I read this about this great drummer. Buddy Rich was born to two parents who were vaudevillians. They were performers themselves. They were Jewish immigrants. The mother and the father were vaudevillians. And the father saw that the kid could keep a steady beat with spoons at the age of one. And so he brought him on the stage to play drums in vaudeville when he was 18 months old. Can you believe this?
I can believe it. Ever since I heard that track of him at 6 years old playing just like he did when he was 40.
He received no formal drum instruction. And he said that instruction would only degrade his musical talent. You know, I can relate to that because I received no formal radio instruction. I always felt that I could do this naturally. And I know that if I ever had taken instruction, I would be diminished or degraded as a performer on air. That's the fact of reality. There are natural players in all fields. It doesn't mean that instruction is bad, but there are people who don't need it and don't want it. Most jazz performers do not like instruction, incidentally. And it's the same with radio performers who are doing a natural show as I'm doing. You have to let it flow from you. You can't think it through. You think it, overthink it, you're going to destroy it, Steve. It's the same with music, by the way.
You can sit at any set of drums and give the same performance, where to and most drummers, it feels like you're putting on someone else's shoes. It just doesn't fit right, but he could do it. No matter what set you put in front of him, he could do it.
All right. Well, he often used contrasting techniques to keep long drum solos from getting mundane. Does that strike you with somebody in talk radio, using contrasting techniques to keep long solos from getting mundane on the Savage Nation?
Definitely.
Yeah, well, that's it. Thank you for the call. He also had an energetic, explosive style. And then he'd go into quieter passages. Does that sound like somebody you know? Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that music and talk radio are not disconnected. And I have to go back to something, and I didn't mean to get into this in greater detail, and I don't intend to draw you into this quagmire right now. But I keep referring to the 2009 write-up on me, the profile in the New Yorker, written by Kalefa Sena. He had been a music critic for the New York Times for 7 years prior to being hired by the New Yorker, and he heard something in this show, in me rather, that was musical, and he was drawn into the show, and as a result, he interviewed me, and over great political opposition in that great liberal publication, The New Yorker, he featured me in that article because he understood my music. He understood what I was doing. He put aside his political views. I don't even know what they are to this day, by the way. In order to hear my song, he didn't have to agree with my politics to hear my music. That was the whole point. And I only wish that America had people like that functioning today. So many people listen to someone, and the minute they hear one word that they disagree with, off with their heads. Out come the guillotines. The minute you say one word they don't agree with, bingo, the head comes rolling. You got to listen to the whole song in order to hear the performance. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into that, but it's an interesting combination of ideas here, where we're doing a number of different things on the Savage Nation, including playing the great Charlie Parker, because I think he represents the quintessential American music that I love so much. You know, I want to go back to Susan Rice and her amazingly racist speech at Florida University the other day, where she says that the national security agencies are too white. It's an astonishing confrontation of bigotry, unlike any I have heard in so many years. Listen to what she says in clip number 5 for 1 minute, please, on the Savage Nation.
By now, we should all know the dangers of groupthink, where folks who are alike think alike.
Hold it. Here is a woman not looking in the mirror, talking about groupthink, saying where folks who are alike often think alike. She's surrounded by, I would say, bigots like herself. And she engages along with the thin smoking snake in daily groupthink on a regular basis. They all think alike. So what is she talking about? Okay. How many returning white military veterans are in that little group of that sorority around the thin smoking snake in the White House? I would say none. Instead, he has guys like that creep, that press secretary, Ben Rhodes, who lied to everybody about the Iran deal. He ought to be in jail, for God's sakes. In fact, when Trump becomes president, I've said this before, I said it last week, we do need a UAC, and Ben Rhodes should be the first in the docket. because the consequences of what Ben Rhodes did in lying about Iran, saying they were dealing with moderates when there were no moderates. He invented the whole thing, that snake, Ben Rhodes. Ben Rhodes should be called up on a war crimes trial for what he did to the American people in selling the Iran deal, and Kerry should be the next on line with him. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know what's going to happen if and when Trump wins. Nobody knows what direction that administration might take. We can only hope there will be consequences for snakes like Ben Rhodes, who lied to us to sell the Iran deal, giving the world's number one terrorist nation the ability to develop atomic weapons. Do you realize what's at stake? We're no longer talking about corruption. We're not talking about U.S. senators selling inside information to husbands to profit from it. No, that's chicken feed compared to what Ben Rhodes did. We're not talking about people selling out land in Marin County so that their children who are in the legal profession can benefit from the inside deals while they're sitting in Congress. No, no, we're not talking about things like that. We're not talking about green mailers who have given billions of dollars to relatives in sweetheart contracts in San Francisco. That's chicken feed compared to what Ben Rhodes did. And don't think the people are stupid, my friends. There is a reason there's a revolution in the political world. There is a reason that Donald Trump has risen from nowhere to become the probably next president of the United States. And the reason is the American people, those who like Bernie and those who like Trump, they smell the corruption. The smell of the garbage dump of politics is so overwhelming that they're willing to take a chance on anyone who might just clean up the filth. It's that simple. You know it's true. You know it's true. The only question is, if Trump becomes president, will he follow through and will he be able to follow through? Or is the system so corrupt and so rotten that no change is possible? I don't know. We have no idea whether that will happen. Okay, so the phone number is 855-400-7282. It is the Savage Nation. I'll be back in a minute to take your calls on these. Another time. But before we go out, Robert, let's get that drum going. Let's get that Buddy Rich solo going on the Savage Nations.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Whenever I hear Charlie Parker, I hear New York, the New York I grew up in, a black and white New York. That's what I hear. I don't mean racial. I say black and white, racial. No, I don't mean racial. Film noir. Think film noir. Think film noir. Think a black and white movie. Think of the streets of New York. Just think of a different time when the streets were relatively safe. When your mother could walk to the corner for a loaf of bread and a carton of milk without getting molested by some bum released in the gutters by a maniac government. The police know who they are. They know what to do to control them, but they can't. Their hands have been tied by Eric Holder and Barack Obama and the other race baiters in this country. Make no mistake about it. This is a far, far, far less safe America than it was when the thin snake in the White House foisted his way upon us. Make no mistake about it. Despite the lies coming out of the controlled media, the state-controlled media, this country is far better off for those who run the country than those who are ruled by the rulers of this country. Make no mistake about it. The power has ascended into a few hands, and they've made the rest of us intimidated. They've intimidated the rest of us by controlling the police. Never forget who the police are. And don't tell me about the few rotten apples, because there are more rotten apples amongst you leftists than there are amongst the police. There are far more rotten apples at Harvard than there are amongst all the police in the United States of America. And I can prove it. That rotten, stinking professor there who said that conservatives should be treated like Nazis. Yeah. Tell me about that rotten apple on tenure. We ought to release a few of the Ferguson Street protesters in his classroom and see how long he lasts, that moron. But don't get me started on that. But the point is that this country is a mess right now, which is why there's a political revolution going on. And the revolution is directly related to the mess created by Susan Rice, who is really nothing but a stooge of Obama. I mean, who would pick someone like that unless he wanted an idiot who he can manipulate? The woman lied about Benghazi. She said it was a videotape that caused it. That alone should have not only thrown her out of office, she should have been in prison for what she did, for lying, but she got away with it. Why? Because of Wolf Blitzer, because of Jake Tapper, because the lack of a media in the country. That is how these low-life liars continue to get away with it. And then to top it off, they invite this liar to give a speech, a commencement speech. Study was just done. 9.5 out of 10 of the speakers are left-wing fanatics at college campuses, commencement speakers. I'm not looking for a job. I'm not looking to put on a cap and gown and speak at Berkeley. I'd probably reject it if they invited me. Who needs it? But there are no conservatives being invited to speak. Instead, there are losers, war criminals like Madeleine Albright, invited to speak. Liars like Susan Rice. One after the other, the left-wing fanatics are invited to brainwash the children on their last day in college. They go out into the world with a distorted view of reality. That's the world we're living in. A world that's topsy-turvy. Maybe when I come back, I'll play Topsy Part 1 on the Savage Nation. And when the time that hour is through, maybe we'll be back to Topsy Part 2. In either case, it's been fun. It's been a great hour. It's been as fast as a Buddy Rich solo. I hope you've enjoyed it. More to come right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, we're talking about a number of different topics. If you just tuned in, welcome. I'll read a couple of email replies via Facebook. I mean, it's why Facebook's so powerful, because you get instant reaction if you're on the radio. You know, in the old days, would you believe it? We used to say, we have a fax. We have a fax response. Let me go get that out of the machine. Remember those days in radio? And then it was like email, but now no one could email me because I have no email that is public. But I have a Facebook page, it's facebook.com/Michael Savage. And there's a lot of people on it. So someone wrote this. Daniel G. Davidson wrote, thanks for the show today, highlighting Charlie Parker and talking about Buddy Rich. Only you, Michael Savage, have the guts to put on the most entertaining and informative show on the radio dial every weekday. Love you, Doctor. P.S. Teddy and Me is a fantastic book. Cheers from North Carolina. It's pretty amazing, the instant communications that we get. Now, below that, there is a very intriguing article that I posted from a gentleman at ChristianMoney.com, and the headline was interesting. James L. Paris wrote this. He said, Savage shocks listeners, bans phone calls on Trump, admits he really loves Ted. Trump supporters were shocked the other day when radio talk show host Michael Savage told his listeners that he only wanted to discuss Ted. Well, what happened? Savage was one of Trump's most ardent supporters, and now his show is suddenly all about Ted? Despite his love for Donald Trump, he made it clear to his audience that he really loved Ted more. It all became crystal clear when he explained that the Ted he was referring to was Ted Savage, not Ted Cruz. No, it was an interesting twist on it. And I linked it up on Facebook and on MichaelSavage.com, and people liked that very much. And we have responses to that as well. From Ed Gilliam, he says, Hussein Obama typically wants to blame the color of his skin, racism, as a crutch and an excuse for his failed presidency. But we the people all know better. Obama is a failure because of his treasonous behavior against the Judeo-Christian foundations of America and his active racism against Caucasians. Now, I'm putting that in here for a reason. Because if this was just one guy of a million people, I wouldn't read it. But I hear this all the time. People are whispering behind the scenes what Obama is doing. They know that there's a war against them. And they also know that by casting a vote for the flawed Donald Trump, it is a clear message to the Obama minions that we are aware of their master plan of diabolical deceit in an attempt to weaken America, all the while strengthening Islam at home and abroad. People see this. I hear it from ex-military heroes on a daily basis via email. Don't think this is a conspiracy of a few dunces, my friends. It's a groundswell that has grown in America as this phony snake continues to inch his way towards total and absolute tyranny in this country. There are other emails that I will not read to you. They're pretty good, some of them. Some of them are not worth reading. Some of them are worth reading. You can go to the Facebook page yourself. Michael Savage, Rich Marlene Carey says, in the late 90s, started listening to you after a non-year Navy tour of Japan while driving to work on Camp Pendleton Marine Base. Give Teddy a hug. Another one, Paul Ben Rashi writes, wow, so many years ago, Savage, where does time go? Thank you for your service. No, it's true. I mean, I don't want to get into this sandglass thing, but I don't know where time goes. I remember when I was a kid, I'd hear the old people saying, don't worry, when you get old, you'll see how time goes fast. We didn't know what they were talking about. Time speeds up, they say, as you get older. Is that true? Well, don't call. Of course you're going to get people calling. To the young, there is no future. I mean, it's just like everything is now. They live in the present. That's why young people are able to put up with such difficulties, because they figure tomorrow it will change. And hopefully for some it does. But in a society where upward mobility is decreasingly uncommon, or increasingly uncommon, I should say, because of the shrinking middle class, and that's a multiplicity of factors for that. Certainly it's escalated under Obama. It started, the shrinking of the middle class, which I touched on in the last hour, began, I would say, under Bill Clinton. It was Bill Clinton, after all, who passed NAFTA. Him and Hillary cooked it up and catered to the mobsters who wanted to squeeze more profit while enjoying the benefits of America and the protection of the military and the protection of the U.S. Constitution. The gangsters wanted more and more money, so they started to sell factories to the Chinese, who very cleverly moved the entire factory to China, copied every tool, and then destroyed the indigenous industry. It started before them with Japan, as you may well know. I remember when we used to have a television industry in this country. Again, when I was young, there were only American televisions. I remember to this day there were Dumont televisions made in Dumont, New Jersey. Can you believe that? Long gone. Philco, long gone. American brands destroyed. They would say, well, okay, they were not as good. Were they not as good? Are you sure they were not as good? Or was it because of trade policies that indigenous American electronics companies were driven out of business? I happen to know for a fact that the Japanese destroyed the American electronics industry very cleverly by dumping. You know what dumping is? Selling their televisions below cost here in America to drive American manufacturers out of business. Now, what nation on earth would have let that happen other than a nation of corrupt lobbyists called congressmen and senators? They bought them off. They bought them off in one way or another to let them dump their televisions here. Now, the same was done to our big three auto industry. How do you think the Japanese auto manufacturers, they make good cars, by the way, but we make better cars right now. How do you think they were able to get a toehold in America and drive the American auto manufacturers virtually out of business till some of them came back? Again, through dumping. By no tariffs on those cars and by selling the cars at almost below cost, they were able to dominate the automobile industry and crack into the American market and to weaken our auto companies and drive them out of business. Now, this is a well-known fact, which is why we need tariffs on foreign cars. And what amazes me, this is the most amazing thing in the world. You've got people who label themselves as conservatives who are in favor of NAFTA, and they get away with calling themselves a conservative. They support NAFTA and say that they're a conservative. When Trump knows that it's NAFTA that created the great sucking sound south that Ross Perot warned us about. Remember in the 90s, Ross Perot ran again as a populist, and he got up there and he said, I hear a great sucking sound south if NAFTA is passed. And don't forget who passed it. It was a Democrat called Bill Clinton, advised by his wife. Probably she was the architect, since he was busy on other events over in the Oval Office. She could have been the president for all we know. He was so busy chasing interns around the carpet there in the Oval Office. Maybe she was the one, the architect of NAFTA. And I expect to hear more about this when the campaign comes down to Trump versus Clinton. I suppose Trump's going to hammer her for NAFTA. She owns it. She owns it. She was in office when he was when it was passed. You say, well, oh, Bill Clinton was the husband. No, well, excuse me. We all know that there's no such thing as a man who is married who runs things on his own. You know, it's always advice and consent. And if you have a strong, smart woman beside you, she's probably running the show to a great extent. If she's smart enough, she's actually manipulating your mind to doing what she wants if she's clever enough. That's the way it works. I know you don't want to hear it, but that's the way. I know it's like, oh, it's negative towards women. No, it's actually positive towards women. Because men are usually rigid in their thinking. They don't want to admit they're wrong. And in order to have a man do what you want, you have to do it in a clever way. Otherwise, he's not going to do it. If you hit him head on, he's going to fight with you. If you advise him and let him think he came up with the idea, as Hillary probably did, you're going to get your way. All right. So let's go to MichaelSavage.com as you're calling in. You're kidding. Kathy's on. She's his daughter? No. We have Buddy Rich's daughter calling us from WJR. Kathy, welcome to the Savage Nation. Is that really you?
It's really me. How are you?
Are you really the great drummer's daughter?
I am indeed.
Well, I would be so honored if one day someone's doing talk radio when I'm in heaven with my mother and my previous dogs, someone calls in and says, I'm Michael Savage's daughter. So what do you got to tell us about Buddy?
Oh, my goodness. What would you like to know? I mean, he was an amazing man. And the funny thing is, when I listen to you, there are times when you remind me so much of him that I can't even begin to tell you. Your passion.
It must be the vaudevillian in me.
I don't know. It may be the New Yorker in you. I don't know. But, you know, he's from Brooklyn, and, you know, he grew up on the streets, and, you know, he just had that passion and that drive, and it reminds me so much of him when I listen to you sometimes.
But, Kathy, here's this great drummer, I played him today in context of playing Charlie Parker. So you were the daughter of this great jazz drummer, if you want to put it that way. He was on the road a lot, right, I would imagine?
Most of the time, yes. I would say that they played probably 300 dates a year, so that's not home very much.
Okay, so who raised you, your mom?
Well, you know, my dad was, as much as he was away, he was always a presence in my life, no matter if he was calling me, you know, three times a day. He flew in from wherever he was, all over the world, to whatever school event I was doing, and, you know, it was always that presence. And when I was not in school, I was traveling with him. So I got to see the world in an amazing way.
Well, what did you do? You traveled with the band, Kathy? What did you do?
I traveled with the band. I sang with the band. I started singing with the band when I was 12 years old. And so I sang on the road. It was incredible. I had an amazing life.
So are you a singer today or retired?
I'm a singer today, yes.
Where do you sing?
I have the Buddy Rich Band out on the road still. So, you know, we're keeping his legacy and his...
Isn't that amazing? So who plays drums now today in your band? Is there a famous drummer out there or someone that's pretty good?
Put it this way. He's becoming a famous drummer. His name is Greg Potter from Chicago. And we decided to go a different way because I've done memorial concerts for the past 25 years in Buddy's name. And we've had every great drummer, every star drummer, every rock drummer, every jazz drummer that's come through my shows. And we decided to go a different way. You know, he comes from the rock world. And so we kind of, you know, wanted to do it for today's audience because Buddy was always about doing things fresh and keeping things...
Kathy, before you go, because this is an unexpected call, I want you to go back, if you will, for my audience. You said your dad, known as this energetic, frenetic, really, drummer. What is it about me that reminds you of him? I'm curious. It's not to blow my own horn. I just want to hear it from your point of view as a performer.
Your passion, your drive, the way you are so, you know, involved in your beliefs and in what he instilled in me, you know, his beliefs, and he was passionate about it and about the way of the world and how we have to do things, you know, for other people. And, you know, just the passion of the way you speak reminds me so much of him when I'm, you know, listening to you every day.
Well, I'm touched by that, Kathy. Did you ever meet the great Charlie Parker?
I did not. I'm too young to have known Charlie Parker, but, you know, I listened to the recordings. You know, Buddy played with everybody. And, you know, in 1966, when he formed his own band after, you know, being with Tommy Dorsey and Harry James and all those people, you know, he kind of wanted everything to be new and fresh, and it wasn't about looking back, and it was always about looking forward. And
yeah, that's the whole challenge of a performer who's moving forward in life, which is to not get stuck in the past. So many people in many, many performance arts can only do what they did. They can't do what they're supposed to be doing.
What happened yesterday, it was always about what's going to happen tomorrow. And, you know, that's really the way to keep things fresh and to keep yourself young, is to always, you know, he surrounded himself with young musicians,
And
well, you know, Kathy, today's show, for example, it came out of left field. I came up with music I've been listening to because I'm a little down right now. It's a down time of year for me. So I happened to listen to Charlie Parker in my down times and others. And in the middle of the Charlie Parker, I hit his great drum solo. And I start to say, how in the world can anyone do this? It sounded simple, but remarkably complex at the same time. And the way the Charlie Parker Band comes right back in after that solo is just amazing. I find myself jumping, leaping, saying, oh my, all you can say when you listen to stuff like that is, yes, that's all you can do. Stay on the line. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation, talk about jazz talk right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. And way they cut back in. Okay, here we go. Great American music. So what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is the shrinking America. That's what I'm getting at. Whether it's music or manufacturing, it's disappearing, and we know it. We sense it. Now, before the show is over, I'm going to read a poem entitled, I forget the name of it, but it was by Oliver Goldsmith. And it was about England during a time, in a strange way, that they were losing people. People were losing their farms, and they were being moved off their farms because the farming was shifting out of England to America. In other words, the jobs are going overseas. And I got to find an Oliver Goldsmith poem. I used to read it on the air once every year. But I want to go to this position of what's happening right now, why Trump is rising, even why Bernie is popular. I'm going to give you the example of Wendell Nolan, age 52, and how he slid out of the middle class. You see, 8 years ago, he was making $28 an hour as a factory worker for Detroit's American Axle and Manufacturing Holdings, assembling axles for pickup trucks and SUVs. And then in 08, something happened. After a three-month strike, Mr. Nolan took a buyout rather than a pay cut. A year later, the plant was closed and American Axle shipped much of its work to Mexico. Now Nolan makes $17 an hour in the shipping department of a Detroit steel fabricator, 40% less than he made at the Axle plant. What does he say? He says, America is losing jobs because of the free state trade stuff. They're selling America out. Now you understand why Hillary is sinking fast, why Bernie is rising, and why Trump is rising. Because the American middle class is falling.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I am very, very reluctant and sad to have to give you this story on breaking news, but Russia has just spoken of nuclear war because the psychotics in the Obama administration have implanted a missile defense system in Romania, which is in direct violation of a 1987 treaty. Did you know that? You're not going to read about that in the news, but you have to study this. The site that they chose to place the Aegis offshore launch pad in Romania, by the way, violates a 1987 treaty intended to take the superpowers off their hair trigger nuclear alert. It's called the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, which banned land-based cruise and medium-range missiles with a range of 300 to 3,400 miles. Now Obama and the psychos, like Susan Rice and the other sorority girls, have violated that 1987 treaty. Attention, progressive psychotics. Get your mind out of your behinds. Get your mind off your sexuality for 10 seconds. Stop worrying about LGBT rights and toilets. And pay attention to the psychos. Your vermin in the White House, the pack of liars, violated a nuclear treaty and have set off the Soviet Union into threatening a nuclear war. You think I'm making this up? Russia speaks of nuclear war as U.S. opens missile defense system. They say, well, we have a right to put in a missile defense system. No, we don't. No, we don't. 1987 treaty. It was set up to take the superpowers off their hair trigger nuclear alert. It has a name. Look it up. The Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. It banned land-based cruise and medium-range missiles with a range of 300 to 3,400 miles. And right now, the short flight time of these missiles has reduced or diminished to mere minutes the window that Soviet leaders would have had after a warning to decide whether to launch a second strike raising the risks of mishaps. And so, my friends, be very careful of the smoking snake in the White House and his double-talking bumblers like Susan Rice. They have just made the world a much more dangerous place. Now, you won't hear any of this from any of the geniuses in the media. You won't hear any of this from the nuclear scientists, the ones with the clock ticking down, you know, 10 seconds to midnight crowd. All the communist socialists, the apparatchiks of the left in academia, will ignore this and say it's Putin that is provoking this. But it's not Putin. It's the thin smoking psycho in the White House. And as a result, President Putin of Russia has warned that an American anti-missile deployment in Eastern Europe could prompt Russia to withdraw from the treaty. The U.S. last year accused Russia of violating the treaty by failing to declare the true range of two missile types. Well, it's back and forth. But the fact of the matter is, this world was a very dangerous place in the 1980s, and a treaty was established to take us off that hair trigger nuclear alert system, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. And what it, in plain English, it banned land-based cruise and medium-range missiles with a range of 300 to 3,400 miles. And what just happened is Obama has violated the treaty. How did he violate the treaty? Because he moved a long-awaited missile defense system into Europe with a ribbon cutting and a band. And what is this about? Well, he put a missile system into Romania. You say, well, we have a right to put up a missile shield for the Eastern Europeans, but that's not what the system is. The Russians see it as a direct threat to the Russian Federation. And so they are now saying, quote, measures are being taken to ensure the necessary level of security for Russia. The president himself, let me remind you, has repeatedly asked who the system will work against. Well, the U.S. under the sorority says that the anti-ballistic missile system would protect only against rogue states such as Iran. Now, that's very intriguing, since Iran was not called a rogue state when Kerry the filthy liar told us that it was run by moderates, or Ben Rhodes, the war criminal, wrote the lie that Iran was a moderate state. Now, all of a sudden, the missile system is supposedly going to protect against rogue states like Iran? Well, okay, you get the picture. A pack of vipers are running the United States of America. And what is the system? It's called the Aegis Ashore. And it was essentially transferred from a seaborne launch pad onto land in Romania at the Develu Air Base. And the United States, on Friday of last week, planned to break ground on a second site in Poland that should be completed in 2018. But listen to this. But a deputy U.S. Defense Secretary, Robert Work, reiterated today that there are no plans at all to strengthen this missile umbrella to protect against Russia. In other words, they've triggered a new arms race, and they've just realized what they set off here. In Moscow, it's so serious that the foreign ministry spokesmouth, Maria Zakharova, said that Russian defense experts considered the site a threat. She said, "We still view the destructive actions of the United States and its allies in the area of missile defense as a direct threat to global and regional security," Ms. Zakharova said. She said that the Aegis Ashore launch pad was practically identical to a system used aboard Aegis warships that is capable of launching Tomahawk cruise missiles. And it goes around and around and around. The Russians know that there's now a short flight time of these missiles, diminishing to mere minutes the window that Soviet leaders would have had after a warning to decide whether to launch a second strike. So we're back now to a Cold War as a result of the thin-smoking psychotic in the White House who has a vendetta against Putin that is not, by the way, rational. This is not a rational hatred for Putin. This is a hatred for Putin based sheerly on his ego. That is Obama's ego. Obama's ego is so thin and so fragile. And because Putin is far more popular than him, not only amongst his own people, by the way, who view him as a hero because he's a nationalist, who puts Russia first, not last, but Putin is considered more favorable in the world's eyes to Obama, who has shrunk, by the way, in stature as a result of Putin's actions as a nationalist leader. And as a result of this, the dangerous psycho in the White House has just moved the world closer to a nuclear war. My friends, this is very serious business. And you should understand that there are consequences to liars and to brigands of all kinds. I wonder what Donald Trump would say about this today if he was on this show. I wonder if he would say that we will withdraw these systems from Europe in order to make peace with Russia. I wonder if Donald Trump would arrest John Kerry for having lied to sell the Iran deal as having acted as a foreign agent. We've all known John Kerry is an anti-American operative. We've known it from the Vietnam War on when he threw his medals over a fence. We know he's an anti-American activist from the get-go. We also know John Kerry lies every time he opens his mouth. But the question is, when the lies become so big that they engage the nation in activities which permit a rogue terrorist nation like Iran to speed their way to nuclear weapons at a time like this, is that not an act of treason? Should Donald Trump, in fact, hold hearings to see if John Kerry and Ben Rhodes and the others who lied to the American people should be tried for treason? Would there be a precedent for this? There were Benedict Arnolds, by the way back when. In my opinion, either Kerry or someone above him is another Benedict Arnold. Now you say, well, I didn't read that in the New York Times. How could you say a thing like that? How could you, Michael Savage, a mere talk show host, who no one ever heard of, even though you're heard of by so many people around the world, how could you dare suggest that either Obama or Kerry are Benedict Arnolds for what they have done to the American people in lying to them and selling Iran as a moderate nation when they were never negotiating with moderates because there were none? They were only negotiating with theological monsters. In other words, maniacs. They were not nationalist maniacs. They were religious maniacs, which are far more dangerous than nationalist maniacs, incidentally. All you progressives, write that down. Religious maniacs are more dangerous than nationalist maniacs. They always have been, and they always will be. Phone number, 855-407-282. I'm sorry to ruin your day, but there's the news of the day. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Minorities still make up less than 20% of our senior diplomats, less than 15% of senior military officers and senior intelligence officials. Too often, our national security workforce has been what former Florida Senator Bob Graham called white, male, and Yale. In the halls of power, in the faces of our national security leaders, America is still not fully represented.
As a result of the morons who are running everything, the jackals who are pushing affirmative action now, we're closer to a nuclear war than we were 8 years ago. Here's what someone just wrote. So why is Britain and the Obama-Dinejad run USA, Obama-Dinejad, I like that, USA, letting the Islamics invade, letting a Muslim as mayor of London, letting ISIS, ISIL, Islamic State flourish, letting Iran get nuclear weapons, letting North Korea develop high-altitude airburst nuclear weapons, keeping the borders open, letting diseases and criminal aliens to flow over borders, letting the Chinese send spies and criminals to our lands. They continue. The USA and Britain ignore all this. They still toot the idiotic diversity horns, and then they find time to harass China in their territorial waters and to harass Russia near their sea and airspace near Kaliningrad. They ask, why is Obama and Britain starting a new Cold War? Did anyone bother to see that we put missiles in Romania and Poland, provoking Russia? Why isn't stopping the refugees, North Korean and Iranian nukes, and stopping Islam top priority rather than restarting the Cold War? That's a great question. That is such a great question. It goes to the core of the liars and the incompetent morons like Susan Rice, who continue to push diversity instead of protecting the United States of America. Let's get some callers in the remaining time in this hour. This is a very serious development. I hope you heard what just happened. Joe on WABC, line 8, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi there. See, Mike, You always mention, every now and then, you do say Russia is our natural ally. They fought in World War One and Two on our side, etc. Russia, in my humble opinion, has to become a member of NATO. They have to do one thing, invite Russia to become part of NATO if they're serious about peace on Earth. And then,
but Joe, you know, this is a strange thing you're saying, because the North Atlantic Treaty Organization was created specifically to fight Russia in the event of a nuclear war. That's what NATO was created for.
You're talking about today. Today's different. That was USSR. Now we've got Russia, who's on our side.
Yeah, but you have Ahmadinejad running the United States of America, doing the exact opposite of what we need for national security and world peace. Ahmadinejad is now the enemy of peace on Earth.
Donald Trump, that's one of his first projects, to try and make Russia part of NATO.
I don't know that Russia needs to be made part of NATO. I think maybe NATO needs to be dismembered. Maybe there's no need for a NATO anymore.
I agree with you on that point.
In other words, what do we need NATO for? To share our national security secrets with nations that may not be our friend? You want to share our national security secrets and our defense secrets and all of that with countries that may not even be on our side? And by the way, now that Britain is becoming so much of a Muslim-dominated nation, maybe we ought to consider not being part of NATO at all. Maybe it's not in our best interest to share everything we know with nations that are not our friends. Well, I mean, the mayor of London, the first thing he did, instead of saying, I'm going to fix London, he attacks Donald Trump. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Now.
All right. Thank you very much. I can only deal with this up to a certain point. But the bigger issue is, why is Britain and Ahmadinejad letting the Islamics invade this country? Why are they honestly every day talking about diversity as though it's something good when we know it's failed? It's failed gloriously in Britain. Multiculturalism was a creation of the radical left. They even admitted it 4 weeks ago. The communists, who used the phrase labor in England, even said that multiculturalism, meaning the invasion of Pakistanis and primarily Pakistanis and Africans into England, was an attempt to drown out the dominant culture and race in England and its own country. And they were white men who did it, and white women who did it. And they said they did it specifically to suppress the, quote, conservatives in England. Did you know that? That they did it specifically to suppress the people from their own nation and render them literally useless in their own nation to defend themselves. Look how that's working out for Germany under the communist oven stuffer there, whatever her name is. My friends, these are dangerous times. Why would they let Iran get nuclear weapons? Why did Obama lie repeatedly about Iran? Why did John Kerry lie repeatedly about Iran? You say, well, I don't care about Iran. I don't care at all. Why are you letting North Korea develop high-altitude airburst nuclear weapons? Why is Obama continuing to leave the borders open when we have measles epidemics in Tennessee? We have tuberculosis epidemics. I can name five diseases that are coming in with the criminal aliens. Why would the so-called head of the Department of Homeland Security, who I've told you about at the beginning of the show, why would he have released nearly 20,000 convicted criminal immigrants into the United States in 2015? You want me to give you a few stories about that? Why is the head of DHS not before a congressional committee answering this question? Here's a story, CBS. The U.S. tried repeatedly to deport Jean-Jacques, an immigrant living in the United States illegally, but his native Haiti wouldn't take him back after he served more than 10 years in a state prison for attempted murder and committed multiple parole violations. Each time this Haitian criminal was arrested on a parole violation, he would serve a sentence in state prison and then be released to immigration custody. At least three times, Haiti refused to take this repeat criminal back. So immigration and customs enforcement officials in early 2015 did the same thing that they do thousands of times a year. They released this violent criminal immigrant from jail. 6 months later, Jacques, the Haitian murderer, killed Casey Chadwick, a young Norwich, Connecticut woman. He was convicted of murder last April and faces sentencing this summer. After his conviction, a Chadwick family attorney told CBS, I could read the rest of this. The murder of this young woman by this Haitian murderer is clearly on the hands of Barack Obama and the head of DHS. if we lived in a sane nation, there would be consequences for the death of women in the United States of America. But here in corrupt San Francisco, the death of Miss Steinle has already been forgotten by Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, the great champions of women.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, Hour 3. It's a different tempo. Hour 1, we opened with Charlie Parker. We talked about his drummer. By the end of Hour 2, we had an alarming news story, which is that Russia is now threatening thermonuclear war because of lunatics like Susan Rice and the others in the sorority who continue to hammer the lies about cybersecurity, climate change, and Ebola rather than Islamic terrorism. And then to top it off, they provoke Russia and say Russia is acting irrationally. So we're in all new waters now on the Savage Nation. If you'd like a call on any of these topics, phone number is 855-407-282. Let's go to WDRC Radio, Everett on line 2. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was going to talk about Putin and him having every right to defend his country. And I wish that our president felt that way. I kind of Donald Trump as being a nationalist, someone who's looking to protect his home and his family. I mean, it's
Right. Putin has a Russia first policy. We have a president who has an America last policy, and that's why Obama hates Putin, because Putin is a nationalist. Obama is an internationalist, and as you know, the international community wants to crush all nationalities, all national expressions, and destroy the concept of the state, of the nation state entirely. That is why Obama sees Putin as his number one enemy.
Oh, and I think it goes deeper than that as far as Obama intentionally flooding our country with illegals and dismantling our military, and now he goes and he provokes a nuclear war.
Why would Obama's DHS release 20,000 convicted criminal immigrants in 2015? And I gave the example of the Haitian who had been imprisoned many times over and over again for attempted murder. They released the Haitian. He has a name, Jean-Jacques. He comes out and he kills a young Norwich, Connecticut woman named Casey Chadwick. By the way, there are racial overtones to this. Why does the DHS release these 20,000 convicted criminals into our communities the same time they're releasing illegal aliens with diseases and criminal backgrounds into this country? What are they trying to do?
Well, in my own state of Connecticut, we had an early release program, and a young man that worked at a convenience store at the end of the street where my daughter goes on a regular basis was killed by a convict within 5 days of his release.
So you know that ICE... The ICE has released tens of thousands of convicted criminals, immigrants, and combined, these people have been convicted of hundreds of thousands of crimes, including murder and sexual assault. This is being reported by the liberal CBS News Bureau. Even they are alarmed by Obama's apparent anti-Americanism. Everett, I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me to share with your children. The phone number is 855-407-282. Let's go to WABC in New York. Lison, line 7, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call, because nothing makes me angrier than when people like Susan Rice talk about the white male from Yale having all this privilege. I grew up the granddaughter of a white male from Yale in the ghetto on the Lower East Side because my dad and my mom could not get it together during my childhood. So I didn't get any kind of privilege. I went to public school like everybody else, And it just infuriates me when they act like as if there's all this privilege just because you're a white male from Yale.
Well, it's Susan Rice, who was an elitist liar, who was given every benefit in the world, not only because of her race, but because she came from a wealthy, upper-middle-class family herself, just like Obama himself benefited from the help of those in his own background. He's a liar through and through, and they're using the classic tactics of hating a race to push another agenda. It's not even about advancing the causes of black people. It's about diminishing America's valuation itself. Period. End of story. There's nothing more I could say on this. ICE Director Sarah Saldana, another non-white, by the way. I'm saying that because we keep hearing that it's too many white people have too much power. Well, the head of the government, is he white? He's black. The head of national security, not a white man. You want me to go down the list? What are they talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Susan Rice gave a speech at a college in Florida, a commencement speech, where she says there's not enough diversity in the military, not enough diversity in intelligence, and the face of our national security and defense is too white. I find that so offensive, it's amazing to me that you don't find it offensive. But what's more amazing is that the individuals that have been put in power, such as ICE Director Sarah Saldana, is responsible for releasing these 20,000 convicted criminals, and the murders and the rapes that are occurring as a result are clearly in her purloin. And she should be tried for this. There should be consequences for this. She is saying that she had no choice but to release these dangerous criminal immigrants. This liar, Sarah Saldana, put in by Obama, handpicked by La Raza, said the agency is bound by a complex set of immigration laws and rules that govern which immigrants have to be detained and which ones can be set free. That is total rubbish. That is total rubbish. This is a desired end of these people within our own government. They wanted this, I would say, make the middle class less stable. So, my friends, now you understand why Trump is rising and why Hillary is falling. Is because the people themselves know the danger that they are in. Again, look at the case of the Haitian immigrant Jean-Jacques, who was an immigrant living in the U.S. illegally. Even his native Haiti wouldn't take this murderer back after he served more than 10 years in a state prison for attempted murder, and he committed multiple parole violations. Each time they arrested this Haitian criminal on a parole violation, he would serve a short sentence in state prison, and then they would release him back to immigration custody. Three times his own country of Haiti refused to take him back. Well, I think that there's a case here for us bringing him back forcibly, bringing him back to Haiti and dumping him on the tarmac. That's what we need to do with all the criminal aliens. In fact, if you read Government Zero, I was the one who created the phrase self-deportation, by the way, which Trump was condemned for saying. Did you know that? It can be found in that book or Stop the Coming Civil War. Yes, self-deportation would occur if you cut off the benefits. Many of these bums would go back where they came from. If there'd be nothing for them for free here, where do you think they would turn? Well, some turn to crime. There's a solution to that as well. If an illegal alien turns to crime, why should we pay for his incarceration? Do you know that one-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens who have repeated many, many felonies and finally they're put in prison? What if we began not by deporting the hard-working immigrant? Can't we split the difference and be rational about this? Can't we say, okay, let's split the difference. We're going to deport all the prisoners first who are illegal aliens. They're going back, whether it's to wherever country they came from, Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Russia, China, Japan, wherever they came from. They're going back. Whether the country wants them or not, they're taking them. We're going to bring them there. We're going to fly them in on U.S. Air Force cargo planes. We're going to leave them on the tarmac. And under armed guard, that plane is taking off and those people are being brought back to their home country. Let those home countries that gave us these criminals take them back, whether they want them or not. That's what I would do if I was the head of ICE. I would go to the new president and say, look, this is what we have to do. They have to go home. Of course the countries of origin don't want them. They're no good. Why should we be forced to spend $50,000 or $60,000 a year to take care of them, give them ethnic meals no less, and legal aid, and flat screen televisions and dance lessons and group therapy. Could you imagine while you're slaving away working 12 hours a day, these bums are getting these benefits in your prisons? This has to come to an end. We have to start being rational about this nation and how we treat people who don't belong here to begin with. And I say, no, don't even look at the hardworking immigrants. Leave them alone. Let's begin by deporting the one-third of all prisoners who are illegal aliens who committed multiple felonies, finally got caught and convicted. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Back to Charlie Parker now on the Savage Nation. Pick up the tempo of hour number three. You ready for this one? Play it for a minute before they hear this, because they'll have an attack if they're going to hear the next one. Better listen to some music. Let all the progressive drug addicts relax for a minute. Turkeys that they are. All right, a Democratic congressman is writing an anonymous book slamming the nation of naive, self-absorbed sheep as he admits he never reads bills he votes on. Screw the next generation, he says, and Harry reads a pompous A. Democratic congressman writes anonymous tell-all book slamming a nation of naive, self-absorbed sheep as he admits he never reads the bills he votes on. He said, my main job is to keep my job, to get reelected. It takes precedence over everything. An anonymous member of Congress writes in a new book. He says, voters are incredibly ignorant and know little about our form of government and how it works, he writes. It's far easier than you think to manipulate a nation of naive, self-absorbed sheep who crave instant gratification. And who is the author? Not a Republican. It's a Democrat in Congress who laid out his complaints to a longtime friend and former Capitol Hill staffer who edited them into a book. The book will be out in May by a small Minnesota-based Vanity Press publisher. The new book threatens to blow the lid off of Congress as a federal legislator's tell-all book lays out the worst parts of serving in the U.S. House of Representatives, saying that his main job is to raise money for re-election, and that leaves little time for reading the bills that he even votes on. Can you believe this? You better believe it. That's why Obama is where he is, because the people that he calls his constituents, meaning the Democrats in Congress, are exactly like this man. And the book is The Confessions of Congressman X, a devastating inside look at the dark side of Congress, as revealed by one of its own. No wonder Congressman X wants to remain anonymous for fear of retribution. His admissions are deeply disturbing. Now, you heard about Chelsea's wonderful husband shutting down his hedge fund in Greece after losing 90% of investors' money. You heard about that yesterday? His name is Mark Mezvinsky. Now, Mark Mezvinsky and his wife Chelsea live in a $10 million apartment in Manhattan. Children go to private school. They don't go to public school. But he ran a hedge fund, and it was pitched by Hillary Clinton's son-in-law, Mark Mezvinsky. And he said, let's bet on a Greek economic revival. Well, now, 2 years later, the Greece-focused fund is shutting down after losing 90% of its value, according to two investors with direct knowledge of the matter who spoke on the condition of anonymity. The fund was known as Eaglevale Hellenic Opportunity, and it raised not a lot of money, $25 million from investors to buy Greek bank stocks and government debt. Now, you know, someone got screwed on this. And so, who was it? Hillary's daughter's husband. In other words, her son-in-law. What more do you need to know? The fact of the matter is that these hedge funds often make a lot of money, but sometimes they lose money. Here's another article. L.A. Times columnist says, crooked Hillary may stick. Did you hear about that one? Remember Trump came up with the phrase, Lion Ted, about Ted Cruz, and it stuck? No matter how Ted Cruz tried to escape the flypaper of Lion Ted, that fly was stuck. Once the phrase Lion Ted was coined, Ted was stuck on that flypaper. Well, now a Los Angeles Times columnist is worried that Donald Trump's new nickname for Hillary Clinton, Crooked Hillary, may stick. And so the LA Times columnist is saying that she should respond by committing to campaign finance reform. And as you well know, once this phrase gets out there, Crooked Hillary, I think she's going to be stuck on that flypaper and not get off it too easily, by the way. Well, Trump says it works. It flows. Now, the problem for Hillary Clinton is that he may be right. All campaign-long pollsters have found that many voters, including some Democrats, don't think that she's principled enough to be president because crooked Hillary sticks. Phone number is 855-407-282. This is the Savage Nation. WMAL in Washington. Chris, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's great to talk to you. I know we've been talking about affirmative action today, and I just want to say that I think that the country is basically socialist already, and the redistribution of wealth and affirmative action. If you're a minority, if you're black, if you're Asian Pacific origin, you can basically get a whole lot of federal grants, state grants. If you know of the System for Award Management, SAM database, it allows you to get access to all those grants and loans just before being a minority.
Of course it does. It's biased against one particular demographic, which is the straight, heterosexual, Christian white male. The most targeted minority in American history is the straight, heterosexual, Christian white male under Barry Obama. That's a clarity. Everyone knows this. Every corporation in America is bending over backwards, not to hire white males, but to hire everybody else. Is that a fact or not a fact? Everyone knows that. Every law firm bends over backwards to not hire young white male graduates if they can avoid it. Is that a fact or not a fact? Every government agency, although they're not allowed to do it, makes certain that they don't hire straight white males. Is that a fact or not a fact? Everyone knows it's a fact.
I just want to say another thing is when I try.
So that's not income redistribution. Under classic socialism, it's life redistribution. What they are doing is redistributing lives. They're making lives, career lives, come to an end based on race, in straight violation of any of the government programs that prohibit hiring based on race, sex, or sexual orientation. Thank you for the call. It's an old story. Many of us suffered through it 30 years ago. There's nothing that was just magnified under. It's a magnification under Obama, as we would expect. What would you expect to happen with him as president? Who do you think he's going to pick for positions other than people like Susan Rice, who belongs in prison for lying about Benghazi? She lied. She said it was a video that set off the mobs. When it was a lie right then and there, she knew it. She's no different than Ben Rhodes. Another one who lied to the American. Are there no consequences? Of course not, because there's no one home. You say Congress should investigate. We just found out they're not. All they care about is getting reelected. How many times have I told you I would never run for office? Remember I told you that over the years? Oh, Mike, run for office. I said, no, I don't want to spend my life raising money. I don't want to be begging people for money. How many times have I told you that? Well, now you just learn that's all they do, right? Okay, when I come back, we open up the phones, 855-407-282, right here on The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Here's a couple of stories that caught my attention today. Obama advisor, the loser, Susan Rice, you know the idiot Susan Rice, who refuses the word Islamic terrorism doesn't exist? That moron, put there strictly because, well, let's say you know why. The moron Susan Rice says America's national security agencies are too white. I'm not making this up. While delivering a commencement address at Florida International University, Miami, Obama administration moron, national security advisor Susan Dummy Rice, lamented what she sees as a lack of diversity in the realm of foreign policy and national security. More idiots like her in all branches of security are going to make us safer. Here is a moron who won't even declare Islamic terrorism. Okay, you get the picture. This is one of the dumbest people in the history of the world who is the national security advisor. Now, she's not the first moron put into that position. There have been others before her. If you look back, most of the idiots in that position are idiots. I don't know how they picked them. Here is a woman not looking in the mirror, talking about groupthink, saying we're folks who are alike often think alike. She's surrounded by, I would say, bigots like herself, and she engages along with the thin smoking snake in daily groupthink on a regular basis. They all think alike, so what is she talking about? Okay, how many returning white military veterans are in that little group of that sorority around the thin smoking snake in the White House? I would say none. Instead, he has guys like that creep, that press secretary, Ben Rhodes, who lied to everybody about the Iran deal. He ought to be in jail, for God's sakes. In fact, when Trump becomes president, I've said this before, I said it last week, we do need a UAC, and Ben Rhodes should be the first in the docket. Because the consequences of what Ben Rhodes did in lying about Iran, saying they were dealing with moderates when there were no moderates, he invented the whole thing, that snake, Ben Rhodes. Ben Rhodes should be called up on a war crimes trial for what he did to the American people in selling the Iran deal, and Kerry should be the next on line with him. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know what's going to happen if and when Trump wins. Nobody knows what direction that administration might take. We can only hope there will be consequences for snakes like Ben Rhodes, who lied to us to sell the Iran deal, giving the world's number one terrorist nation the ability to develop atomic weapons. Do you realize what's at stake? We're no longer talking about corruption. We're not talking about U.S. senators selling inside information to husbands to profit from it. No, that's chicken feed compared to what Ben Rhodes did. We're not talking about people selling out land in Marin County so that their children who are in the legal profession can benefit from the inside deals while they're sitting in Congress. No, no, we're not talking about things like that. We're not talking about green mailers who have given billions of dollars to relatives in sweetheart contracts in San Francisco. That's chicken feed compared to what Ben Rhodes did. And don't think the people are stupid, my friends. There is a reason there's a revolution in the political world. There is a reason that Donald Trump has risen from nowhere to become the probably next president of the United States. And the reason is the American people, those who like Bernie and those who like Trump, they smell the corruption. The smell of the garbage dump of politics is so overwhelming that they're willing to take a chance on anyone who might just clean up the filth. It's that simple. You know it's true. You know it's true. The only question is, if Trump becomes president, will he follow through and will he be able to follow through? Or is the system so corrupt and so rotten that no change is possible? I don't know. We have no idea whether that will happen. Here's another one for you. The Department of Homeland Security, under the moron Jay Johnson, freed nearly 20,000 convicted criminal immigrants in 2015. Now you ask yourself, why would a man, a Wall Street lawyer, like Jay Johnson, have been selected by Obama to be the head of DHS when the man is incompetent at any speed? The man is a danger to our national security, our homeland security. The same DHS that is mandated to protect us has now endangered us by freeing 20,000 convicted criminal immigrants in 2015. Are you listening to me? You want a little bit more? And we'll go to the next step. Trump camp says Muslim entry into U.S. depends on their intentions. That's why Trump is soaring and Hillary is deflating. I'll give you more, but let me start with a quote. The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Shall I repeat that? The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Now, any leader, any corporate leader, any military leader, anyone who has risen to a high position understands exactly what that statement means. And by the way, conservatives tend to be those people who can hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time and still function. The left, however, does not hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time. They have a single idea, a single agenda, and they drive it home. Their only agenda is the destruction of the middle class. Because Obama is clearly operational as a Marxist. People have said, is he really a Marxist? He didn't take over this, he didn't take over that. One of the tenets of Marxism is the shrinking or destruction of the bourgeoisie. You know who the bourgeoisie are? You, the middle class. You, Eddie, the one that was put out of work by Bill and Hillary Clinton by sending factories to China. You, Eddie, who was set out of work by Barack Obama, who has sent more and more companies offshore and overseas. You are the middle class. And there's an article today about the great shrinking American middle class. In fact, it was by the Associated Press, of all people. America's middle class is headed toward extinction. In nearly one quarter of metro areas, middle class adults no longer make up a majority. And this is from the left-wing Pew Analysis. And so what is going on? I know what's going on. Why do you think there is a shrinking American middle class? Why did this happen under Barack the Liar Obama? The answer is quite clear, because that's his agenda. The rich have gotten richer, the poor have gotten poorer, and the middle has been driven out of the middle class in increasing numbers. This is what happens in a two-tiered Marxist society. There are the powerful, and then there are the weak, and there's virtually no middle class. I remember hearing this as a kid. We were not rich. We worked our way up from, I'd say, poor, lower middle class to another level. My mother used to say to me with joy in her eyes that in America, there's a great middle class. I said, well, what does that mean? I didn't even know what it meant. She said, well, there's rich in all societies and poor, and in this country, there's the largest number of people who are in the middle class. She said, in other countries, there's either the rich or the poor. I thought that was a good thing. Barack Obama studied his Marx very carefully. And the Marxists have long had a vendetta against the bourgeoisie. Who are the bourgeoisie? Well, the bourgeoisie are not Mark Zuckerberg. The bourgeoisie are not Bill Gates. The bourgeoisie are not Nancy Pelosi. The bourgeoisie are not Dianne Feinstein. The bourgeoisie are the middle class people like you who have seen your income shrinking and your costs going up. Here's another little story for all of you in blue out there. FBI Director Comey, who is one of the greatest performers on the political stage right now. I don't know how he survives with the monsters that are running this country. But he's in there because he has tenure. And I hope that when Trump becomes president, James Comey is, I don't know what he should become. I don't know where he can go that would do more, give us more safety than where he is right now. Maybe he'll be able to get his work done, though, as the FBI director. But the FBI director, James Comey, said the Ferguson effect is causing a murder spike. They're calling it very controversial. He reaffirmed his position that the viral video world that has been unleashed upon America has been drastically effective in intimidating police and encouraging criminals. He said that a viral video effect could well be at the heart of a rise in violent crime. The New York Times reports they're calling it the Ferguson effect, where police officers are hesitant to confront suspects for the rational fear of getting hit with excessive force or brutality charges thanks to videos. No matter what the cops do, they're wrong. But that's only part of the problem. The real problem is Barry Obama, and before him that evildoer, the worst, most evil attorney general in history, a Dr. Svengali, Eric Holder, who is now hiding in a corporation somewhere, attacked the police relentlessly and empowered the criminal bums in Ferguson and Baltimore. That's why America is less safe. Now, there's another story that came out of New York this morning that I found quite intriguing here that I'd like to talk about today on the Savage Nation. The third most powerful Senate majority leader, the third most powerful politician in New York State, ex-state Senate majority leader Dean Skelos. Remember how powerful he was in New York. This is a New York City corruption story with great national implications. You ready for this one? Ex-state Senator Majority Leader Dean Skelos was sentenced today to 5 years in prison for using his political power to line the pockets of his do-nothing son, Adam. Now, it's a father-son duo. They were convicted in December of bribery, corruption, and conspiracy after prosecutors with Manhattan U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara's office played tapes showing that the Long Island Republican strong-armed companies into paying his 33-year-old son more than $330,000. Now, in New York State, they have a great U.S. attorney. The man has gotten one scalp of a corrupt person after another. Preet Bharara should run for national office. Frankly, I think if Donald Trump's people are listening, Preet Bharara should become U.S. Attorney General, by the way. But nevertheless, Preet Bharara has gone after one corrupt Democrat and Republican after another. He put away that prize, Sheldon Silver, a man who thought he was above the law, a man who used his religion as a weapon. He thought he was untouchable, but he was not untouchable. Preet Bharara got him and put him away. Well, now Preet Bharara got this father and son and put them away. And the question I ask is this. Why are there no such arrests in San Francisco? Everybody who lives here knows this is the most corrupt city in the United States of America. This city makes New Orleans look like a Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs City. And yet there have been no arrests by the local U.S. attorney. No one even knows who he is. No one knows how he exists. Nobody knows where he came from. Why is there no U.S. attorney in San Francisco to break up the same system here of pay for play? Bribery, corruption, and conspiracy? Are you telling me it doesn't exist in San Francisco? Everybody living here knows it exists. I'd like to read a couple of reviews of Teddy and me because they're interesting or I wouldn't read them. Guy writes, great little dog, great little book. Let me start by saying that I am not the biggest Savage fan, though I do listen to his show occasionally and always enjoy his wide variety of topics. One of the topics I've grown to particularly enjoy is that of Teddy. I almost feel as if I know the little guy and love it when he contributes his 2 cents worth to the show. Someone wrote that the most heartstring-pulling story in the book is, of course, that of his brother, but it is also uplifting and based on Savage's belief system. I believe that his brother Jerome is already in the company of the other dogs that brought joy into Savage's life, waiting to embrace each other when the time comes. Savage once again shows his excellent writing skills. Readers of his many books on health, politics, and fiction can add Teddy and me to Michael Savage's long list of excellent books. Anyway, people like the book. I hope they're getting some pleasure out of it. I don't expect it to make a, let's put it to you this way. I don't think you're going to see it on Fox News. I somehow don't think Bill O'Reilly will hold up a copy. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Mike at Charlie Parker, The Bird, Carnegie Hall, 1947. Talking about Buddy Rich the drummer. That wasn't good enough for you libs. And remember the statement from F. Scott Fitzgerald that I quoted. The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas of mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. That's something many of us do. It's called, well, it's called thoughtfulness. And yet the left does not hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time. They have only one idea in mind at one time, which is destroy the middle class, push diversity, push Islamization, weaken the military, weaken defense, weaken national security. Whatever they could do to undermine the halls of Congress, whatever they could do to undermine the pillars of our society is all they do, day and night. And when you have no opposing force, they win, we lose. Now you know why Trump is rising and Hillary is falling. Let's go to some callers right now. KLIF in Dallas. Ben, thanks for making the show so big in Dallas. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I am a music theory student at one of the nation's best music schools in the country. I study musical scores daily, Beethoven, Mozart, Chopin, everything. And there's huge parallel between your style of writing, your nuances that are filled in your speaking, which is most remarkable because speaking is your form of improvisation. But it's so remarkable because it makes it classic. Just like music is that is classic, it stands the test of time. Your writing has all so many aspects of classicism that are in writers like Mozart and Beethoven. And I hear you worry about that all the time. Will my books, will they transcend to other generations? And I think that you have those nuances in it, and your writing is filled with those things. I'm reading a book of yours from 2005, and it's still applicable to today.
Wait, which book would that be from 2005?
I believe it's called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. That's a phrase that will live through time. And after we have the conservative revolution that is coming, that phrase alone will become common parlance, just as in ancient Rome, the Latin phrase, illegitimae non caberandum, became common currency amongst the people who saw what the barbarians were doing to Rome. America will understand what the barbaric left has done to America, and it just might, in the movie version, in my head, be saved just in time, and the criminals who have done this to us may have to pay the consequences of their dire, villainous acts against this nation. I thank you for the call. I'm sending you both Government Zero and Teddy and Me to add to your library collection. Well, it's been quite a musical day here on the Savage Nation. Each day I try to create something new for you. today it was bringing to you some of the music that I keep to keep me up, that I play to keep me up, and I don't mean up at night. I hope you'll be with me tomorrow for yet another, I hope, original day, right here